We present the News Quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
Hello! And welcome to the News Quiz. We start with an advert spotted in Colorado's Pax Christi Church Bulletin, read by Alan Smith.
Assisted living at Cayley Ridge is designed for senior adults who wish to maintain their independent lifestyle, but may need some additional assistance to do-do.
Our thanks to Todd Cumpson for sending that in. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Helen Lewis and Mark Steele. And opposite them, on my left, Kiri Pritchard-McLean and Rich Hall. Helen, if this question were hypothetical, who wouldn't answer it?
Oh, I like that. This must be Brexit, which is going incredibly well, and anyone who says it isn't is probably secretly a Belgian. This week, Theresa May got asked whether or not if the referendum were held today, she would vote to remain again. And she said, I don't answer hypothetical questions. And I've been thinking about this, because actually this is a thing that politicians say all the time. And I've decided they're all frightened of the scariest hypothetical question in British politics, which is this. Boris Johnson, David Davis, Jacob Rees-Mogg, shag, marry, push off a cliff. Headed, and they think if they just shut it down right now, they'll never have to answer that question. But there's all kinds of incredible stuff has come out as well. Liam Fox today has announced a new Board of Trade, which is very exciting until you realise the membership of the new Board of Trade is Liam Fox. It's just Liam Fox. They had to put out a statement at the Department of Trade and Industry saying there will be advisors as well. It's not going to be, quote, just Liam Fox sitting in a room on his own. So, yeah, I'm pretty confident it's all going to go really pretty well.
Oh, having them sorting out Brexit and then being asked to be reassured about that. It's like if you found an unexploded bomb in your house and you rang up the police and they sent round Paul Gascoigne in a kangaroo. David Davis at one point said, we're going to get a better deal out of Europe now we're not members. And I thought, I don't know, it's all too complicated for me, but is that the way membership works? You get a better deal when you're not... Like, if you go to the snooker club and say, can I come in? Are you a member? Not in the slightest. Then use all our facilities. Here's the chalk, here's the cues, this is Cindy, she'll give you a massage, just give her a whistle. Can I come in? I'm a member. Get out! Come in here with your fully paid-up membership. Out!
That's why they don't like people using the phrase divorce bill, right? Because there is no divorce in history that has ended with the divorce partners going, we should treat each other better than we did when we were married.
Did you see the whole interview or listen to the whole interview on LBC?
No, I'm not a madman.
Yeah. Well, she was asked as well about Boris. She refused to say whether or not she'd vote leave or remain. She could have just said, well, of course I'd vote leave now. Everyone must think that about me. There'd be no story. She was asked about Boris Johnson and all she just said, he is the Foreign Secretary, which a lot of people say, but they all say, he's the Foreign Secretary. Have you been following this, Kerry?
I've been trying to find it all a bit sad and scary. Because, well, the pound tanked again today. Even UKIP don't want to be associated with a pound. And they were the ones who caused this mess, quite frankly.
Well, they have to make things up, don't they, to carry on with the sort of idea that we're free, at last we've got our country back, and make it at last we are now free to do trade deals with countries as yet undiscovered under the sea, and no longer do we have to iron our spring onions and classify Wiltshire as an insect and play cricket with a triangular ball and put wind turbines on our cats. We are free.
How much of Brexit are you enjoying, Rich?
I don't even know what we're talking about now. I try to explain Brexit to Americans. You know, they're mildly curious. But I have to start with Downton Abbey references.
Can you not explain it to them in terms of like the Civil War? Is it not like we're a bit like the Confederacy here?
Well, I'm a Southerner, and so I see the whole thing as secession. So, yeah, I'm totally Brexit. Because we know how that worked out for the South.
God, does that mean we're going to have awful statues of, like, Daniel Hannan and Liam Fox put up in every town square?
Statues of Farage. Farage, at one point, when he... I still think it's his... How did we fall for this country? When he said... he said, I was on a train a little while ago, and there were several people in my carriage speaking in foreign languages, and that did make me feel rather uncomfortable. I thought, well, that's mental illness, that is. A foreign language makes you feel uncomfortable. That's nuts. That's a shrink you need, not votes. That's brand new. It's like one of these people who's scared of buttons or something, you idiot. Oh, it's Spanish. It's made me go all funny.
During that terror attack that wasn't a terror attack at the weekend, they carried an interview with Nigel Farage in the back of a taxi. It was one of the most extraordinary things I've ever heard. He went, they've shut all the tube stations. I've never heard anyone be so thrilled about the news. He really thought London was in the grip of this huge terror attack, and this was kind of his moment. And then it just turned out to be a road traffic accident.
Talking of road traffic accidents, did anyone watch David Davis and Michel Barnier doing a press conference together? Barnier shudders pretty much every time that Davis speaks. It becomes a horrific sweating mess every time he opens his mouth.
Aren't they in Europe, aren't they? Because we sort of come from this sort of UK-centric point of view that we think that they're all sort of discussing us all day long. But I don't think they are. I think they're sort of, we're going, yeah, come on, then we're going to have another lot of negotiations. And they go, oh, are you still here?
This is Theresa May's first public appearance following her conference speech, where she took part in a phone-in on LBC and refused to say whether she would vote for Brexit in a second referendum. Rather a quiet one from Theresa, none of her trademark slapstick stuff. May says she doesn't answer hypothetical questions, a completely consistent position. Who can forget the episode of Desert Island Dis, where she kept saying to an increasingly weary Kirsty Young, why are you asking me what songs I'd take? We're clearly in a recording studio. Boris Johnson is, of course, only too happy to answer hypothetical questions, usually with the words, huh, depends on how many pints I've had, but probably, yeah. Also this week, Michel Barnier and David Davis held a joint press conference to mark the end of the latest stage of Brexit negotiations. When asked about the lack of progress, Barnier described it as disturbing, although he may just have glanced at David Davis and said the first word that came into his head. And the pound has dropped again, meaning perhaps this is the perfect time to catch the EU off guard and offer to join the euro. always see when they zag. 2 points to Helen. Mark, who has produced a Hollywood disaster?
Well, this is clearly Harvey Weinstein, and the terrible thing about this story is that the way the world's going, he's probably now going to be the next president. I think that, right, now, if you walk through a bar and you sort of turn around and knock someone's drink over, it was clearly an accident. If you have sexually assaulted people over a 30-something year period, you can't really go when you're caught, oops, what am I like? Oh, clumsy me. Look at me suddenly disrobing and running round with me fat, horrible, ugly, bloody American girth, sorry, Rich, shouting. And amongst the things that he did, the one thing that he did, which I think you can go, well, at least there you were sort of looking for the comic angle. How can I put this on Radio 4? At one point, he played with himself, shall we say, into a flower pot in full view of someone.
Is that our Cabbage Patch Kids are made?
This guy, it was always, come to my own, watch me take a shower. For a guy who took that many showers, why does he look so oily?
Yeah, he used to try and make actresses watch him in the shower, but I think it's just because he's 65 and he's worried he's going to have a fall.
I have to admit that,
oh, God.
I lived in Los Angeles 20 years ago, and I have to say I was one of the 12,700,000 people who knew what he was up to, and I never told anyone.
When people talk about things being like common knowledge or an open secret, what hand are people hearing this? I mean, people could say, well, everyone's complicitous. If you hear a rumour and you've not got does that count as, you know, once a rumour's third or fourth hand, what actually
do? When you start to hear it enough, and when you people, oh, Harvey, when you become a punchline to, oh, you know, audition, I hope it's not for Harvey Weinstein, then, yeah, that's, at that point, do you give some credence to it or do you give it the benefit of a doubt? I would give credence to it because I love rumors. If that got down to my level in show business, and my level in show business is plate spinners, and I knew about it, then obviously everybody else knew about it. It's,
yeah. You heard about Harvey Weinstein?
Is it a story that's sort of litigious way, I suppose, someone like him leads his life, and then you have this, like, lots of newspapers had the sentence, this week he has been left by his wife and his lawyer, as if they were sort of commensurate entities in his life, sort of thing. Oh, I forgot to send my lawyer a card. It's Valentine's Day. And then people like that, you know, then the Democrats and people like that will suffer, anyone sort of touched by him?
Yeah, there was an inevitable, like, why isn't Hillary Clinton condemning this? One of the people who said this was Julian Assange. I mean, winner of the kind of massive 2017 Hypocrisy Award. A man hiding in a cupboard from a rape allegation decides that he wants to have a go at Hillary Clinton for not speaking out. Sorry, mate, the whole subject makes me so angry because it will be happening across all industries right now and everyone's kind of slapping themselves on the back about how brilliant that this guy's been brought down. And like Mark was saying, he had to do it for 30 years before they got enough evidence to get him. Sorry, that was my...
This is the news that millionaire film producer Harvey Weinstein has been accused by multiple women of sexual assault. Upon hearing the news, the Director General of the BBC immediately resigned. None of this was the BBC's fault, but these things have just become habit. Among those who did comment were Colin Firth, who called Weinstein a frightening man to stand up to, finally explaining why he kept stuttering during the King's speech. In Weinstein's apology, he pledged to devote his energies to bringing down the NRA, prompting an NRA spokesman to complain about altitude sickness after occupying the moral high ground for the very first time. 2 points to Mark. Kiri, who doesn't want a monarch in the Glen?
The SNP have had their conference, and I think they were worried that no one would care, so they sort of declared war on the royal family. They did a vote to decide whether they should stop public funding for the royal family, and they all voted not to carry on the funding. But they don't decide who gets the funding, so it was just sort of a nice exercise in voting. Loads of great policies in their speech, but everyone is focusing on the royal family thing. It is silly that they've even sort of got involved with it, really. It's like me being like, I've done a vote with me, and it's passed unanimously that I can go to the supermarket in my onesie. I'm still going to get kicked out of Asda for having a hole in the crotch. Like, it doesn't matter. It's not my decision. I wish that was a lie. Oh, and they also did this thing. I really like this. The island of Ulva, which is near Mull, they went, OK, cool, you just look after yourself now. So it's under community ownership, which sounds like it's going to go full Lord of the Flies. I can't wait. I can't wait for Louis III to go there for a weekend and try not to get eaten. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, and they said that they want to bring tourism to remote areas, but... That, I think that's an awful idea, because the reason you go to a remote area is to get away from people. You don't want more people there. But I think they should play to their strengths. You know, like, Amsterdam has, like, they have a sex museum, don't they? And then maybe you could go for, like, the Hebrides. They'll be like, a museum of loneliness. You could get, like, a hermit experience, something like that. I think it's nice. Lots of nice ideas, but no one cares.
Is that one a sort of publicly owned energy company? The idea that to start beating the big energy company that they run themselves and isn't done for profit. Anything that is a good idea.
Have you seen how ballistic Ed Miliband goes? Anytime anyone talks about renationalising the utilities, he's like on Twitter going, "Really? You all called me a commie 2 months ago." It's so good. He gets really angry about it.
She came on and waved a packet of throat sweets just to sort of really put the boot in, which, I mean, obviously we did, but we're not in that game. It's perfectly acceptable for us to snipe from the sidelines. There's a slightly sort of bullying aspect to that, I think. I mean, if, like, Theresa May had been shot at, would she have come out and sort of waved a Kevlar vest around? What do you think of her, Mark?
Oh, God, this has gone all Channel 4 news.
Just answer the question, Mark.
The coup was talking about the royal family and tourism. I was thought that's the weakest argument for the royal family, because does that mean, like, no tourists ever go to America or France or Ireland, though? People go to the top of the Eiffel Tower and go, well, it's not a bad view, but the lack of a monarchy spoils it for me. I don't feel for this, because they were sold a complete con, wasn't it, before the referendum. They had Alistair Darling and all those people going, oh, please, please, Scotland, please don't leave us. We can skip through the heather together and through the mist and we will be in love forever and all that sort of thing. And then when that didn't work, right, go on, then just see what happens if you go off on your own. Then all your oil will be sucked out to Norwich and Ben Nevis will be dragged to Cornwall. You'll be useless. You'll be useless without us. But they're not united, are they? Scotland isn't all united. I was at one of the in-town shows in Paisley, which is just outside Glasgow. It's about 4 miles from the middle of Glasgow. And if you say there, oh, so you're sort of on the edge of Glasgow. How dare you say it's on the edge of Glasgow? We're nothing to do with Glasgow, by the way. I've never heard of Glasgow. That's 4 miles away. It's over an hour to walk, by the way. They're not united. They didn't mention anyone. Oh, it's proper Scotland, Glasgow. The proper true Scotland, the soul of Scotland, religious hatred, true Scotland. I mean, you with your cobbled streets, and you're all come and see our festival and our shite poetry happen. Our shortbread and our wee little stupid biscuits and our woolen jumpers from China for £160 through bloody Scotland. We're united, we ought to be our true country by ourselves.
This is the SNP's annual conference held this week in Glasgow. In her speech, SNP leader Nicola Sturgeon mocked Theresa May with a box of cough sweets, a joke which went down surprisingly well with the room full of doting sycophants who knew that they were on television. Sturgeon also announced plans to take the island of Ulva into community ownership. Currently, like so many islands in Scotland, it struggles under the tyrannical yoke of Sir Paul McCartney, who continues to demand annual tithes and the right to burn a local once a year and a wicker ukulele. Ulva is, of course, famous as one of the nearly rudest names Hebridean islands. After Iona, which rhymes with boner. Not my fault, just a fact. In her conference speech, SNP MP Mary Black described Jeremy Corbyn as too right-wing. It's as if she's finally spotted that there is a problem, but not quite managed to put her finger on what it is. 2 points to Kiri. And at the end of round one, the scores are Helen and Mark have 4, but Kiri and Rich have 5. We start round two with a cutting from the Sunday Times.
The former transplant chief said, I would opt out of organ donation. Part of me really wants to help, but part of me really objects.
Thanks to Peter O'Donnell for sending us that. Rich, whose secretary has got them feeling a bit testy?
Long story short, Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, called Trump a moron. I have a confession. I'm one of the 62 million people who have also called Trump a moron. And I didn't do anything about it at the time. So Rex is a little late to the party. But Springsteen called Trump a moron 6 months ago. So now I'm pretty sure some investigation has been launched to find out if indeed Springsteen was born in the USA. So it doesn't bode well for Tillerson. So Trump has challenged Tillerson to an IQ test. Well, let's have an IQ test. In 1970, when they stopped using these calculations, IQ of 0 to 25, idiot. 26 to 50, imbecile. 50 to 70, moron. Now, I think Trump is probably at 71, which, wait for it, folks, makes him borderline impaired. Clinton proved that you could be a president without morals. Bush proved you could be a president without an IQ. Obama proved anyone can be president, and Trump has proved we don't need a president. So yesterday he goes and calls Bob Corker. Bob Corker is a senator, Bob Corker. And so he's back to his, you know, oh, little Bob,
Little Bob Corker, he called him. Little. L-I-D-D-L-E. He needs to be challenged to a spelling test. Bob's the one who called. So the White House is just an adult daycare center. And I think he's right. I think that's pretty much Trump's schedule. He gets up in the morning and makes everyone watch this show called... It's about a fox and his friends. I haven't seen it, but some kind of childish fantasy. Then they sit around and have nickname calling workshop. Then they color in all the red states that he won. And then they all have a locker up sing along, and then the parents come and take him home. Yeah, an adult daycare center. I don't think he'll stand up to this test. I don't think. An IQ test, really.
What should replace it? Should they play the Russian roulette or something instead?
God, that'd be... What would you pay for that on pay-per-view?
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
He came out with the most extraordinary quote I've ever heard this week, which was, I'm more humble than you could understand. A man who can brag about being humble. I do feel a bit sorry for Americans because you are basically what we look to make ourselves feel better about Brexit.
Have you ever had an IQ test? I had to have one to be diagnosed with attention deficit disorder.
So did you finish it?
It's like a dichotomy between what I'm capable of and what I'm not capable of. And the psychologist explained to me, when it comes to vocabulary, it's very exciting, you do very well. And then he said, but when it comes to numbers and pattern recognition, you are functioning just above the level of a full nappy. A medical professional.
This is what I can only describe as an out-of-character spat between President Donald Trump and his Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, after NBC alleged that Tillerson had referred to the President as a moron. I'd advise Donald Trump to take the position that words will never hurt him, but then I don't have an ego like a dandelion clock in a hurricane. Like all Trump employees, Tillerson has a sign in his office reading, "You don't have to be mad to work here, but it may help your defence when you eventually come to trial." Reportedly, Steve Bannon told Trump that the greatest risk to his presidency wasn't impeachment, but the 25th Amendment, which provides the procedures for replacing the president in the event of death, removal, resignation, or incapacitation. It's not clear which of these Bannon is anticipating, but it would probably be safer for everyone to hope for the full House. 2 points to Rich. Helen, have a listen to this. Helen, who's trying to go it alone?
This must be the story of Yorkshire's failed bid for devolution, I think. The brass band gives it away. Basically, there have been all this talk about various different types of parts of the country getting their own kind of special mayors and bits of regional assemblies and this and that. And the problem with Yorkshire is, as you say, it has gone a bit people's front of Judea, in that they have basically got six versions of Yorkshire devolution on the table, and no one can agree on one of them. But I really love the whole story of English devolution, because it never, ever takes off. Everyone wants to make it happen so badly, and it never happens. In 2002, they did this whole thing of directly elected mayors, and Hartlepool got one. And so this guy who was Hartlepool FC's football mascot ran to be mayor. His name was Hangus the Monkey. He was one of 12 candidates, and he won resoundingly. And he was re-elected twice. So the problem is, really, that everyone talks a big, big game about devolution, but they can never really agree what they want. Basically, they just want the money out of the pot. And in the case of Hartlepool, they wanted free bananas.
Is that the platform that he stood on?
It was a bold platform, but one that ultimately saw him triumph.
Did he live up to it?
Well, actually, he did a phenomenal bait and switch, which must have really freaked people out who thought they voted for Hangus the Monkey, because in his speech he went, "Until now I have been Hangus the Monkey, but now I am your mayor!" And, and ran as a completely serious candidate the second two times. Reverse of Theresa May, in that he started off with... and became a serious politician.
Yeah. Give it a couple of weeks, she'll be dressed as a monkey.
Well, I live in Manchester and we've got a mayor and... Obviously, we're keen to see what happens there, because then I guess that'll decide who gets to keep that house in the middle of the M62. That's all we ever care about.
I think the Yorkshire Church of England, that should be an official church, the Church of Yorkshire.
Oh, yeah,
I'd love to hear that. I'd go to church if it was a... Jesus went up at Mark, like, you know, I said, if thou wants snap, thou gets, like, loaves and fish and thou can put up with it, like, that's it. Is that it? What's thy on about? Is that it? Happened? Stop laking about and, like, stop that and just... You could stuff that and Judas, you shut up and all.
I guess the
walk on
is...
water, the daft bugger. You do out, you come here and you walk up ground like everyone else. What's the matter with you?
This is the deadlock over Yorkshire devolution after the government refused to approve a plan supported by 17 out of the county's 20 councils. The deal would see the region come under the rule of a single mayor who would have authority over transport, education, business rates and the long-dormant Huddersfield space programme. It's hoped this could help Yorkshire play a key role in the Northern Powerhouse, a largely fictional construction the Conservatives are desperate to bring in so that in the future they'll have something to nostalgically destroy. Post-devolution, the Humber Bridge would become toll-free to encourage tourism, finally putting an end to the nightmare of throwing coins into a metal basket that has stopped so many of us from enjoying the sun-kissed beaches of Kingston upon Hull. Two points to Helen. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting they'd like to share? Helen.
Mark Peckett from Sutton Coalfield saw this article headline in The Guardian. Gerard Manley Hopkins, the poet priest who deserves a place in the gay canon.
Chris Haldenby of Newport, Isle of Wight. A tiny wild rabbit was spotted hopping around the car deck of the 9 a.m. sailing from Southampton this morning, much to the amusement of passengers. A group of staff worked hard at capturing the creature, finally scooping it up and keeping it safely in a catering department cardboard box.
This is Jeff Robbins, and lots of other people sent this headline in from the Telegraph. My husband went for a vasectomy, but bottled it.
Thank you, and now let's take a look at the final score. Kiri and Rich have 7, but this week's winners are Helen and Mark with 9. Oh. Before we leave you, here is a typo from the I newspaper reporting on hurricane damage in the French Caribbean, sent in by Pam Gill.
President Macron insisted 1,900 police and troops we on the ground to ensure security in St Martin.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Helen Lewis, Mark Steele, Kiri Pritchard-McLean and Rich Hall. In the chair was Miles Jupp and the news was read by me, Alan Smith. The chair's script was written by Liam Byrne, Max Davis and James Keppel, with additional material by Rebecca Channon, Caroline Mabey and Jenny LaVille. The producer was Joe Nunnery and it was a BBC Studios production.